Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, the basis of our meditation and presentation, is the second lesson for today, which talks about being united in the midst of our diverse abilities that God has given to us. That second lesson has already been read, so let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the many and various ways in which you call us through your Holy Spirit. We pray that we might find our unique gifts for a place in spreading your kingdom throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are now in the Epiphany season of the church year. This is the second Sunday after Epiphany. And Epiphany means revelation or manifestation or light. Last Sunday, we considered how the wise men were a great revelation to us in bowing down and worshiping the Christ child because they were Gentiles, reminding us that Jesus Christ came for all people. That theme is picked up in a very strong way in Paul's writings in the New Testament, and it's honored in our country tomorrow as we set aside a day to honor Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Specifically, in our second lesson for today, it talks about being united even though we have a variety of gifts. God's mission and answering that mission becomes bigger than the differences that might exist otherwise. And today we have a unique opportunity to learn about that as we welcome Jeanette Douglas to our congregation today from Forest, Illinois. Jeanette and her husband, Sam, who is presenting at the traditional worship service, have been missionaries in Ecuador for 6 years, from 1966 to 1972. They were teachers in the Inter-American Bilingual School there, and we will have a presentation there this morning to share some of their work through questions and answers. The first question, I suppose, that naturally comes to mind is, how did you get started in this mission in Ecuador? Certainly, there must have been some sense of calling in what you were doing and answering that call, and that probably did not happen overnight.
Indeed. After we were married in 1961, my husband Sam and I went to Los Angeles to teach school over 40 years ago. We've looked up a Lutheran church in the Yellow Pages there, and we liked what we saw, Loving Shepherd Lutheran Church. So we went to Loving Shepherd Lutheran Church. At Loving Shepherd, a pastor was serving who had a zeal for missions. He had become a missionary himself and served in Bolivia. And it seems like any time that a missionary was within a 50-mile radius, he'd grab them and have them there in the pulpit on a Sunday morning. So we, very early in our married life, were exposed to missionaries. He and the congregation taught us, just as I was telling the children, to pray for these missionaries, to learn more about them, to love them, to reach out to them however we can with whatever gift. Well, shortly after our arrival there, several other young couples came, and we began to fellowship together. Now, we're all in our 20s. And these couples came from Minnesota, and they caught a vision much greater than Sam and I. We were well now into the education system of Los Angeles City Schools and quite comfortable, to be honest. They asked that we pray with them because we were the strong, steady ones. So we did. We prayed that God send them out. You got it. It was us that got sent. One missionary was in our church sharing a need. They needed teachers. They needed someone that could consider building a new building for our bilingual school that had outgrown its facility. Sam had worked in construction. He had studied architecture, and he had several leadership positions in the church and Ohio State. So he was well prepared. And we looked at one another, and we didn't go overnight. It was a 2-year process. We considered it, we prayed about it, and then we answered the call. We went to Cuenca, Ecuador in 1966, as Pastor has said, to serve. What a wonderful 6 years. The key thing was relationships. Relationships with wonderful people. We went to build a school. We were introduced there in our school to needy kids. And our school had been accepting some special kids. So this Pastor Rice, our same pastor, challenged us. Could maybe we start a special school here in Cuenca where there are no facilities for special kids? And that we did. So our call expanded over the years as we went. That's how things happen when you're out serving under God. He sees what he has, and he can open it and give vision for more new things.
Thank you. You talk about the passion that your pastor had for mission. I can also say your enthusiasm for what you're doing comes through loud and clear, and we really appreciate that. The mission command to go and make disciples of all nations can be so big that it's very hard for us to identify with that, and yet you have given us a very specific example of how you heard that call and responded to that call. Did you notice then over the years a change in the mission? What you are doing, and even since you have left Ecuador, a change in mission work in general?
Very definitely. Prior to our arriving in Cuenca, in the 1950s, our mission, World Mission Prayer League out of Minneapolis, had some evangelists there trying to bring people to know Christ and to have a personal relationship with him. They were hitting a concrete wall because it was like 17th century back in that city of Cuenca. And Catholicism had a strong hold. But it seems like over the years, with the school and with the acceptance of children with special needs and reaching out through school and through education, God used that to open the city. So now, at the time that we went, there was only our own Lutheran church and the school that had a Protestant presence in Cuenca. Now there are many Protestant denominations throughout the city. It's marvelous to see. There also are many more special education facilities to educate the special needs children. So we started that first school for special ed kids in 1970, and like I said, now there are many. When we went, it was a city of 100,000 and rather peaceful and quiet. I would even drive the little Land Rover uptown and pick up the mail. Now I would not get in a car for anything. It's grown to 400,000 people. The streets are still the narrow old brick streets, and the cars are thick and heavy. So it's changed in that way. Traditional old buildings with marvelous hand-carved wooden doors are being replaced by modern buildings and malls, and that's all right. Things change over the years, and we have to change with them, and God allows that change through different people going. Now, 50% of the men in the area of Cuenca and the mountainous area around it are not present there with their families. They're working here in our states or over in Europe to earn some money and send back. So that creates some real problems for the city of Cuenca. The bilingual school that we were a part of and the church is now completely run by nationals, for which we praise God. He's raised up national leaders to take on that leadership. The school for the special kids that we started on our campus has now been moved out. The nationals couldn't afford to pay for it. So in the last 10 years, we found that's a special place we can go to give encouragement and support. Yeah, our students have changed. The ones that were third and fourth graders, and I was teaching English as a second language and music, they've grown up. They are now the young professionals in Cuenca, Ecuador. And they, I'm proud to say, have strong leadership positions in their many denominational churches. It's a wonderful thing to see. One of the biggest changes for Sam and I, and we just discovered this about 8 years ago when we started returning is that our maid son's life was changed. We can't take credit for that. God did a work in him. But he and his family lived with us. His mom was my maid. And we grew to love him through relationship, Dr. Manuel. After we left, he caught a vision. He went with some Norwegian missionaries up into the foothills of the mountains there on medical missions. He wanted to become a doctor, this poor young boy. And he was here last spring with us, and he was here in your church. Mm-hmm. Dr. Manuel is like the Mother Teresa in the mountains of Cuenca, Ecuador. He has a zeal and a love for the underprivileged people. And so now we're connecting with him, so our call now is a little different. We're taking teams of people that can help him meet whatever needs are necessary.
Well, it must be very gratifying to see that growth, and so thankful to you for planting that seed so that it could grow. Probably the question that's on the mind of most of us here this morning is, why should the average Christian, the average person sitting here this morning at Community of Joy Worship Service even care or think about being involved in mission work? What might we expect to do? What might we expect to see? We're going to have a meeting this week sponsored by Open Door Missions. To try to better define that, we want to send a group from St. John's to Ecuador in June, and we will have a meeting this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall to further define what that means. But can you tell us, give us some direction and what to expect?
Why go? Why me? That's what I said back in Los Angeles, California. I'm comfortable, God. Why me? They want to go. Well, God can use us anywhere, any place, and with whatever gift he has given us. We go, first of all, to share ourselves. Then we share any gift he has given us. We go to broaden our vision, and we go to encourage those there. In the early years when we went back, we went to encourage our missionaries. They have now left. We go now to encourage Dr. Manuel. No matter what gift we have, they're all needed. And when you get there, you might find some you didn't know you had. One year we went and I learned that I could mud. You know, I didn't think I could do that, but they taught me and I actually learned to put up some mud on some wallboard seams. Most importantly, I could clean up after the mudders. That was an important part too. We've built tables, we've built blackboards that can go into the jungle, sew, paint, whatever is needed. God will find a place for us, and more importantly, Dr. Manuel on the scene will direct us to what needs done. When we open ourselves to a different culture, to different people, we are the ones that are blessed. How often I've come back and I thought, gosh, what I gave was so little compared to what God has given me by going. Will all of you be called? No. Probably 1 in 20 will go. How about the rest of the 19 of us that sit here? There are things we can do, just as I was telling the children. We can pray for those that go. We can do various things for them. So you may say, why Ecuador? I say it may not be Ecuador for you this year in June. Maybe another time to Ecuador. Maybe this year you're just going to be the best homemaker you can be. Or contribute to the wonderful church music that you have here at St. John's. Or maybe be a Red Cross volunteer. Or work in the youth programs. Or help with administration or finances. Who knows? Maybe it's just to give us that do go some crayons to pass out to some of the students at the Bible schools. It's a new year. Let's all of us examine our gifts in this new year of 2007. If you can't go, and if I can't go, we need to pray for those that do go. We need to support them however we can support them. We need to catch the zeal that they have, listen to their story, and pass it on. The challenge of your missions group, Open Door Missions, will be to match the people here from St. John's that respond with the projects that there are to do there. And they've got a wonderful resource in Dr. Manuel, our maid son there in Cuenca. He will say, oh, if we've got that person, we can use them at that mountain village, and he will place us. Dr. Manuel has told Sam and I repeatedly in the last couple of months that he desperately needs an ear, nose, throat person. He's identified a lot of those kinds of problems up in the villages. And if you know of anyone who has a specialty in that area, let your Open Door Missions people know, because that is going to be a need that Dr. Manuel could use in the upcoming years. The three areas that Open Door Missions is thinking of now are the construction maintenance area, health concerns in the villages, and that may be no more than dispensing medicine like I did, putting a bunch of medicine in a plastic bag, or teaching the children how to brush their teeth. They'd never had a toothbrush in their hands before. So you think, well, I'm not trained medically. You don't have to be. There are a lot of support for the medical people. And Bible school. All of us can sing, and I tried to teach you a new little Spanish song this morning. You probably could catch on pretty quickly to a few easy Spanish choruses. So, various gifts are needed in all places at all times. When God calls you, don't miss the opportunity to go. It's a wonderful thing to experience. Some of the various gifts and ministries have been shown up here today. That's how we honor God, the giver of the gifts. We become his hands and his feet. We become God in faraway places or next door to our neighbor. It's not what we do, but it's what God does through us, how he uses our gifts.
Yes, I think that's really true. We often think of going on a mission trip to help people, and we do. But the people who get the most out of it are those who have been on the trip, and people who have done the giving are the ones who actually receive the most. And I encountered an example of that this morning. I met Steve Terry, our youth director, in the hall. He just returned from a week at Nazareth Farm in West Virginia, and he was flying higher than a kite because they had a very good week, and he's looking forward to celebrating that this evening and sharing with us at our light worship service. And I think that theme is in our gospel for today.
Really?
Jesus changed the water to wine. It was the best wine that was served last.
Exactly.
The lavishness of God when we give to
awesome.
Other people. Well, I think that this has been an outstanding example of our second lesson for today. God uses many different circumstances, many different people, and many different times in order to accomplish the work of God's kingdom. Teaching, construction work, medical work, there's a place for all of that. And so we thank you, Janet, for what you've done. You've helped to broaden our horizons and possibly to break some of our patterns to either do something or support those who are doing it. So thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.